Hello and welcome back to the First and Ten podcast. The draft coverage is winding down now. It feels, I don't know, it feels like it's been a long time, and we've done lots and lots of podcasts to go back and listen to some of them. But this is our final mock draft. Can do a little bit of news in there as well in between some of these picks. But as always, through all of this, we've also had Miles on. But the two, it's been me and Ash the whole way. How are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, bud. I've enjoyed our Ant and Dec scenario this week. It's been good fun.
Yeah, it's been I always enjoy doing the draft stuff, and I know you put a lot of time and effort into the draft stuff, don't you? So it's always good to
Yeah,
get a
it's
lot of your thoughts on it.
one of my little babies across the whole year. I do enjoy it. It's like one of them, obviously, like in England, we don't have anything like this in regards to this sort of style of sports. In regards to the draft system, so it's just really cool to for something different and something that you can keep your eye on, and I just find it fascinating most of the time. So yeah, really looking forward to Thursday.
Yeah, and so there's obviously so much news around it all the time, and I mean, it feels like it's really ramped up in the last day or two. It feels like there's so much stuff coming out now that, yeah, it feels like, I don't know if you feel the same, but going into this draft, I'm so like uncertain of where like so many players are going to go. When previous years, it feels like some picks are almost set in stone, or well, not set in stone, but penciled in, but sort of penciled in heavily. It's yeah, this year feels so different, even like right at the top of the draft. And I mean, we'll get there, but I think the pick at number two could pretty much sort of set in motion a lot of different stuff if it goes one way, or it could sort of, make things go
100%.
a bit more easier if it goes another. But we'll get straight into it. We did this draft as a bit of a joint effort. We sort of agreed on the picks, and we've had trades up and down. And I mean, there's lots of them. How many did we have? One, two, three, four, six trades in total we had in the first round. But I mean, I saw something earlier from someone. I can't remember who was saying they've one of like the big inside guys, and there could be 10 trades in the first round,
That's
which
pretty
would be
mad.
wild, wouldn't it? It
Yeah,
seems
that
so
would be.
often on draft night where it feels like there's gonna be loads of trades, and it sort of, doesn't happen that much. A lot of teams sort of stay and pick, but it's yeah, it looks like it could be a bit of a wild draft. And yeah, we'll get to some of the individual positions when we get there and stuff, but yeah, some big stuff could happen tomorrow night. But right, let's get to the first pick. I mean, we won't do too much discussion around this. It's been discussed a lot. Number one to the Bears, Caleb Williams. I mean, is there any chance it goes somewhere else? I don't think there is there?
No chance at all. Anyone who
Yeah.
tells you otherwise is talking rubbish, I think. I think it's set in stone. They had a meeting, I think, in LA recently, which DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Caleb Williams, and weirdly Roma Dunze was there, which might be something to keep an eye on. But they had a little meeting, Bears meeting over there, and and then they flew over to Detroit afterwards, I think that the media report said. So, I mean, it looks set in stone. It wouldn't shock me if it comes out before they obviously pick. Similar, I mean, we had the Andrew Luck news probably like about 3 days before it actually happened. And they just said they pretty much announced the pick. So I wouldn't be shocked if that's a similar situation that we have when tomorrow they are pretty much putting it up on their social media that there's pretty much Caleb Williams is the pick. And you hear it from a lot of the reporters that they've already agreed. They're basically contract agreeing things at the moment, more so than the pick.
I mean, even Andrew Luck back then, I remember there was like a little bit more about, oh, could RG3 go? Could they really take him this year? It doesn't even like that seemed to die out about 3 months ago, that sort of chat, didn't it, with Williams? This has just been, I
This
don't know,
is
a
William.
set as a number one has been for forever. Like maybe Trevor Lawrence, I guess, but this one just feels like so set in stone. It's crazy, doesn't it? So we won't do too much more on that because we've talked about him a lot. But number two, this is where things get interesting. I mean, it feels almost nailed on to be quarterback, but I think Jaden Daniels is still a big favourite. But a little bit more talk that maybe make a go. But I mean, we had this as Daniels. Do you think this is sort of set in, or do you think they could still go May?
I mean, there's a few reporters we follow or we and I trust that still say there is a discussion being made. But the betting market does seem to be pretty secure in that it is Jaden Daniels. At this point, I would be shocked if it wasn't Jaden Daniels. I just think that that's kind of maybe what they're with his running style. I think that's probably more of what Kiff Kingsbury will be after. And I just think overall, I think that's where the franchise want to go, with maybe a little bit more experience, and sort of like a ready-made quarterback as a dual threat, rather than not. I mean, I really like May. I think the upside's there with May. That's probably would be my pick, but it just looks that it's going to be Daniels, and that's what the Commanders want to do.
Yeah, it definitely seems that way, doesn't it? And I mean, this is the one I think if it is May, I think that's where we could see some trades happening quickly and a lot of trades happening because it feels like the Patriots are sort of set on May, really, doesn't it? It seems like he is their guy. But if Daniels falls, it doesn't seem so certain. And that could be, you know, do we get someone like the Raiders who seem to be in love with Daniels trying to make some huge move? Do we get the Giants, the Vikings, you know, some of these other QB needy teams? But I think Daniels may go at two opens up a real can of worms, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think that personally, I think that we obviously know it's quarterback for the Commanders, because I think if they were going to move out, we'd hear rumbling similar to what is coming out of the Patriots camp at the moment, where we might move out. We haven't really heard that at
Yeah.
all from Washington. It's going to be a quarterback, but they didn't know which one. I think that it's become clearer over the past 24 hours. It's going to be Daniels. I'd be shocked if it's May, but then does that open? Is that more of a concern for the Patriots, that they want to do that, or is it just that they're edging their bets just in case May is not there, that May wants to be their pick? I mean, the likelihood is May's going to go next, depending on obviously if the Patriots want to take him. But yeah,
Yeah.
that seems to be the scenario that we're hearing a lot more about, which is probably like 24 hours before the draft.
Yeah, and so we move on to that pick three then. Well, I'll sort of we have gone for Drake May. You sort of let me make the call as it's the Patriots pick. I'll sort of I'm still sort of holding firm on the fact that I just don't think, you know, new coach, new GM. Or whatever they're actually calling him. I don't know if he's actually officially GM, is he? I can't think what they're calling him. But, you know, person making the picks. I just can't see them going into a season with their sort of future riding on Jacoby Brissett, to be honest. You know, not that I think the Patriots are going to be sort of one and done with them, but if it's that bad, then they could be. And Brissett's fine, but with like a not very good roster. Like how many games is he realistically going to win? And I just can't see a team, you know, if I'm the coach or the GM, I think we'll start Brissett for 5 6 weeks, then turn it over to the rookie when everyone's calling for him, and you know, you buy a bit of that. Just that it's the sort of pretty standard playbook, isn't it, these days, with get a veteran in for a few weeks and then, you know, I can't think what the Patriots buy will be this year, but whatever it is, we'll work out from there, don't they? It's strange, but. You in your mock draft, where can people find that? Go on. I might as
It's
well
on
do
the
it now.
it's on the touchdown at the moment. You can probably find it all over our people's Twitter account.
Yeah.
There's
Yeah, we've
certain
tweeted it out and stuff, so go and have a read of that. You did have the Patriots trading out of here. And like, what's your thoughts behind that one?
My thoughts on it is just that if someone told me now, what do you think is going to happen? I think that they will take Drake May at the moment, currently 24 hours before. My only thing about that was, with the way hard done my mock, is that I think that I wouldn't rule out the possibility that if Patriots wanted to trade out, the only reason they would want to trade out is because they weren't that set on the quarterbacks, which is, we have heard rumblings. If you were set on a quarterback, you'd hear similar rumblings to Washington in regards to, oh, we're just going to stick and take, because in theory there's four guys, it's not three, so they're going to stick and take their guy at three at quarterback. But because we've heard the rumblings of them wanting to trade down, is it they want to trade down because they think they can get JJ McCarthy later, or is it they aren't actually set on one of these quarterbacks? So that's the reason I kind of did it. And I was thinking, well, if you're that in love with the quarterback, would you even be open to trading pick three? And obviously, rumblings that we've heard coming out of there from reporters that I do listen to and follow is that they have been fielding calls and they are open to it. Whereas Washington have never really been open to the fact that they'd want to move out. So are they really that set on a quarterback? Maybe it's just they're set on one quarterback, is why maybe they're getting more more feelers out that they're looking to move out. So it's one of them ones where it's hard to call, because obviously I think that if you're going to try and be cute, you don't want to move out and try and say, if you're trying to get JJ McCarthy, you don't want to be too cute and try and move down just to get value for JJ McCarthy. You might as well just stick and pick and take him at three. But the Patriots really are crying out really still for a left tackle, like to the extent where it is like a huge, huge need. So it wouldn't shock me. I'm not saying it will happen, but that's why I wanted to probably put that scenario in my mock. That it wouldn't shock me if the Patriots aren't sold on a quarterback at three, that they move down and take one of these tackles, and they can position themselves very easily to trade with the Giants, who are in love with Drake May at three, if they don't love Drake May. And they could still position themselves where they could get JJ McCarthy at six, or they could take Joe Alt at six, which is what the scenario kind of what I sort of played out in my head.
I mean, there has been talk, like, see, I follow a lot of Patriots reports and stuff. They do like sort of Michael Penix Jr. a bit later. And, you know, maybe that's a scenario where they can trade down, maybe take the left tackle and then get him later. Don't love that myself, but, you know, it is on the table. And I saw someone else sort of mention that they may be able to trade him down, but sort of only if they can guarantee getting either May or McCarthy, which to me basically says they'll trade to the Giants and no one else really. You know, maybe at
I don't
six
think
and
they're
then they could
fourth.
always come back
I
up.
mean, I personally think if the Patriots trade out, the only team the Patriots are trading with is the Giants.
And then it's probably
That's the
with
only team
moving
they're
back up
tracking.
in mind, maybe, you know, move back to four or something and get whoever that
I
guy
just
is
think
or.
it becomes too complicated for that Patriots organization to move from three to 11 to then back up. I don't think they're the sort of organization that would do that. I think that's, like you said, that's more like your Eagles and your Arizonas that would do something similar to that sort of style. But I think if New England are going to do it, they'll trade down, but they'll trade down to six. I think that's the latest they'll go. They won't want to lose out on one of the top receivers that they have, or Joe Alt or JJ McCarthy, if they want to do that.
And so I think it would make some sense for the Patriots. We've got a lot of holes and that sort of thing. But I think ultimately, if they come out of this first round without a quarterback, I think a lot of fans will be disappointed. I think it will look, you know, won't look good for next year. I imagine their odds will plummet or even further than they already are on stuff, you know. So
100%.
it'll be an interesting night for the Patriots. But yeah, lots of options on the table. Right, we'll move on to number four. Cardinals. I mean, we've got them sticking. Do you think they could trade, or do you think this one? It just feels as time's getting closer that they feel like there's no real talk that much that they're going to trade at the moment, is there? It feels like they're a team that's going to stick and pick to me.
I think that they've got their heart set on Marvin Harrison Jr. I think it's pretty much a done deal. The only scenario that I went through my head was that, I mean, you could argue that obviously everyone knows about the Minnesota Vikings and the capital they've got, and that they want to move up for a quarterback. That obviously that is a possibility. I just think the asking price is going to be too much for Minnesota to want to pay. And I think Minnesota are happy enough that I don't know if they would want to move and give up that much to go and get, probably on their board, their third or fourth rated quarterback. Like, that's quite a haul to go up to move up to get your third quarterback on your board. So that's the only one that I can see, that if you said there was a percentage chance, 10%. If the Cardinals want to be cute, they could move down to seven. Then the Titans move up to four, take Joe Alt ahead of the Chargers, if that was what the Chargers wanted to do. And the Cardinals are still guaranteed neighbors Marvin Harrison Jr. or Roma Dunze at seven, because no one can jump them for one of those three receivers. So if you were going to be cute and think, actually, that's quite cute for Arizona to do that, and they've got their heart set on a wide receiver, as long as the th first three picks are quarterbacks, then that is a no-brainer in regards for Arizona. But it's whether the Titans would want to move up ahead of the Chargers for Joe Alt. So that would be the only other thing, that if they wanted to be really cute, that could be an option for the Cardinals.
Yeah, that would make some sense. But while we're on the receivers, I mean, there's feels like there's been a lot of talk about veteran receivers being traded potentially on draft night. Do you think so? We've got I won't actually say who's taken them because we've got some trades coming up. But Adunze, Neighbors, Harrison, all going in the top 10. Do you think any of the teams who got taken there may be looking at a Brandon Ayuk? You know, maybe you can get him for. I know you've got to pay him the contract and that sort of thing, but you probably get him with. I know they're asking for a first, but more than
Yeah, I mean,
likely at like a higher second or something, especially these teams that are in this area. A high second for who can pay him, or and draft. Look, we've got the Bears taking a receiver in a minute. Could they take Joel, say, that take him, trade for Ayuk? I'm not even sure what picks the Bears have got to us. I can't remember off the top of my head on the second round and stuff. But say they've got the second round. I don't know if they still have. Trade that for Ayuk, give him the contract and take Joel. Does that team look better than what it may do if they do what we're going to do here, do you think?
I don't think the Bears are in any situation to be able to pay another wide receiver while having the other two wide receivers still on their books that they need to pay in regards to Allen's on his last year and DJ Moore's on his second to last year. So I don't think they'll be in the mix
Yeah,
for
the
it.
Bears are probably a bad example in fairness. But
The
some of these
Char
other teams, could they look at that sort of option of the veteran a bit later and get someone else in the first sort of
I
thing?
mean, Arizona can easily afford it, but then do you, if you're San Francisco, do you want to trade in division? That's the one. But then I don't think that you'll want to pay Brandon Ayuk and move off a four or do anything like that. So I think that really no for the Cardinals, unless the 49ers want pick 27, that might be more feasible, or anything like that. The Chargers, if you're going to dump cap for Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, you're not going to go and then trade for Ayuk and then pay him a load of money personally. I think that they've done it because they need the cap space for other positions in regards to paying Rashawn Slater. Obviously, Penei Sewell's just been paid, so that's going to be an issue to come up soon. So I think that they're out of the situation. I think the teams, if you really think about it, with the cap space and the draft capital for it, is the Colts and the Jags. I think they're the ones, but they're outside the top 10.
I mean, the Jags feel like someone who could definitely make a move for, T. Higgins, Courtland Sutton. Both of them are sort of players that are out there, and they've made damn sort of moves before, haven't they? Like, they do feel like a team that could do that sort of thing. It's just whether that is an option, because it's not one I've considered that much, to be honest, when I've been doing these mock drafts. But I think it is an option this year. There seems to be a higher sort of caliber of receiver available at the moment, doesn't there? Where, in years past, the players they might trade for are not really needle movers, but someone like Brandon Ayuk could come in and be a star receiver, couldn't he, for you?
100%. I think there's a very strong possibility that Higgins, Ayuk, or Courtland Sutton could get moved on draft night. Like that is a possibility. So, like I said, we always get surprised on draft night, and sometimes it does involve a wide receiver. We've seen it in the past with AJ Brown moving on draft night, and Marquise Brown, and a few other guys been moving on draft night. So it's a strong possibility that that could happen. It's going to come down to the teams that are going to be trading for these teams. They're going to need the cap space because they're going to get paid. Because Devonta Smith got 25 million. I mean, that's some serious money that you're going to have to pay Brandon Ayuk or T.
It's going to be that
Higgins.
same
So,
sort of range, isn't it, for them too,
100%,
probably.
100%. And then they've just paid St. Brown, just got 30 per year. So, I mean, you're going to start having to pay these guys serious money. So I just think it's quite hard for some of the teams with little cap, and that need wide receiver help, like your Buffaloes or someone like that. I just don't know how they would be able to make that move because of their cap space.
For sure. Right, we will move on to pick number five, because we have got, I mean, there's two trades coming up in the next two picks. So pick number five is your Chargers. We have them moving down here to pick number six with the Giants. The Giants jump up to take quarterback JJ McCarthy. What sort of trade do you think looks likely for this? What would you be expecting to get back
I
as
think
a
it would
Charger
be,
fan?
I mean, if the Chargers are involved with this, they said that it's going to be hard for them to move off of five unless the offers are amazing. But if it's the Giants and you're picking one pick later and you know who they're coming up for as such, I think that they would be more open to moving off that pick. And obviously with Joe Ortiz, they're from the Ravens organization. They like to accumulate some of their mid-round picks, round three, round four, that they really, really hit home on. So I can really see it being something like a third this year and a second in that sort of range. I could definitely see that happening. So that's kind of what we've kind of put together. I think that the Chargers, I don't know if they're really going to want to move out off of these guys further outside the top 10. And the easy teams to trade with, like I said, like the Giants, if you're going to trade up, trade down like the Cardinals or the Chargers, and the Giants really want that fourth quarterback. I mean, that's the easiest trade to make on draft night inside the top 10, because you're sliding back one or two spots. You're still going to get the guy you want. You're not going to ask too much from the Giants, and you know you're still going to get the players you were going to get originally when you were picking at four and five anyway. So they're the easy trades to make, and I think that's kind of why we put this one together in regards to the Giants just moving up to get JJ McCarthy.
Yeah, just making sure that the Vikings can't jump them or something, isn't it, really, with just McCarthy left at that sort of top-ish range of quarterbacks. I won't talk too much about McCarthy, so you can hear our thoughts on him on the quarterback podcast. Go back and listen to that. We'll move on to pick number six, who, I mean, at this stage are Chargers own, but we have the Bears moving up as well. The Chargers trade down for a second time. And the Bears take Malik Nabers. I mean, how would you feel if this actually plays out on draft night as a Chargers fan, accumulating the picks? Well, first off, what do you think the Bears will give up to move up from 9 to 6?
I think again we're talking about something that they'll give up. They've got two. I think they've already got two picks in the second round of 2025. I think that would definitely be something that they would look at. So again, it would be something like the Chargers move down, collect another probably early day fourth round pick, and then a second the following year, something like that. I think that would work for the Bears if they could guarantee that they're going to get someone like Adunzel Neighbors. So I think we went for Neighbors just because he offers something a little bit different to Keenan Allen and DJ Moore. And I think Chargers are what we've been hearing probably the most open and the most, I would say, less demanding of the teams wanting to move out, because of they've got more needs than anything else, and there's no clear need at the moment. So they would be probably the most open to be able to move in down once or down twice in this scenario, because we always do find that there's a team that kind of wants to move down twice on draft night, and it could very well be the Chargers, with the rumblings that have come out of by some of the analysts and media reporters as well. So it's definitely something to keep an eye on, that the Chargers would want to move out. Obviously, we've done with the Giants and Bears. They are two scenarios. The Jets are another one, and the Vikings, they won't move down further than 11. They won't be dealing with the Broncos. You're never going to deal with in division, and they're not going to be dealing with the Raiders, so they're not going to be dealing in division again. So I don't think it's going to go any less than that. But I think that what we've got here is it may be not that likely in some regards, and some people thinking, oh, they're never going to do that. But we've seen it done before, like the people move around on draft night inside the top 10. I mean, Arizona did it last year. They went down from three to, did they go from 3 to 12 to six?
Yeah,
So
it was
it
something like that,
could be
wasn't it?
something like that. Three, like a double move inside the top 10. It would not shock me if a team did that. And probably the team at the moment that most open would to that would be the Chargers.
Well, and especially as it's played out in ours, and looks like it could be quite likely, they would still get the guy, but they could potentially just pick at five anyway. It would work out pretty well for them, and cap issues and stuff. A quick way of fixing that is to get some rookies in on some rookie deals
100%.
for a few years, isn't it? And they'll quickly balance the books out there. Pick 7, 8, and 9, sort of quite straightforward as it's played out, aren't they? The Titans sticking at 7 and picking Joel. The Falcons sticking at 8 and picking Dallas Turner. And then 9, the Chargers move down to Vice and get Roma Dunsue. I think there's every chance for you to take it at 5 for them anyway, wouldn't you? So, I mean, them three picks in this scenario, that feels pretty like nailed on, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think that at the moment what we're hearing, like, I mean, I really think Joe might go before the Titans take him, just because how can a top three to top five consensus player not go before
Yeah.
seven? But we have had that before. It's not like it hasn't happened before. We have had that before,
And
but
it is in this
I
scenario where
know,
there's like four quarterbacks gone, isn't it? That's when it happens, because
I
the four
think
quarterbacks sort of
that's
knock everyone
kind of
else
like,
down.
yeah, 100%. That's kind of really the only way it's going to kind of fall like that, I think. But it's one of them ones where it makes too much sense that the Titans, it wouldn't even shock me if the Titans wanted to move up a couple of spots just to try
Yeah.
and get Joe Alt. But
They
they
could make
have
that
got,
trade the
I mean,
Giants did, couldn't they? That sort of thing. They could do
yeah,
that.
but they have like they have got probably one of the most, well, maybe the best offensive line coach in Callahan. So maybe they don't feel like they need to jump up for a for a tackle like Holt, and they can just develop one or one of the other guys, which has maybe got more intangibles for Callaghan to develop. But again, it's one of them ones where the tackle just makes too much sense, really, for the Titans. So, and Joe Holt's on the board, so why would it not be him?
Yeah, I think so. And then Dallas Turner, 8 for the Falcons. That seems another one that's pretty. That feels like it's been telegraphed for a while, doesn't that one? It feels like they're sort of was
Yeah, I think
ending
he's
that one.
still. Yeah, I mean, I think I saw today actually that the market is him and Liatu are both now level for the Falcons as the first player to be taken, which is a little bit more surprising. But he has been obviously shooting up draft boards, Liatu, recently. But it looks like it's edge by that
Yeah.
standard. Maybe before people thought maybe corner. At one point, I thought maybe corner would be an option with Quinyon Mitchell or Brian Murphy out of Texas for DT. But yeah, at the moment, it does look like it's edge, and the better market still favors Turner, but not as much as it was before.
Yeah. And then at 9, you get your pretty much dream scenario, right?
Yeah, I mean, I personally think that if they're going to take a wide receiver, it'd be Roma Dunze. I just think that he's the more of the X guy that they want. That sort of Harbaugh's always kind of had when he had like Crabtree and all that. That they're like more your big perimeter guys. So that's why I just see Odunze being more of that type than Neighbors. But I mean, nothing stranger than the draft. So could it be Neighbors at 5? It could well be. But just in this scenario, I think that the Chargers wouldn't mind dropping down a few places and still getting maybe one of them receivers if they fell to them.
Yeah, that makes sense. Right, and number 10, with the Jets, I think this is a pick to go all sorts of directions, couldn't it? It's I think this is one, yeah, that I've struggled with in all my mocks with the Jets. It feels like they would move down, but at the same time, I don't know who they're moving down with, and you know, would they take a tackle? Would they take like plenty of other positions? They've got some needs in, but it feels like whatever they're going to do is probably going to be something that helps Aaron Rodgers one way or another. And we've given them Brock Bowers at number 10. Do you think this is the right sort of spot for Bowers?
Yeah, I think between 10 and 15 is where Bowers is going to go off the
Yeah.
board. I think it'd be between the Jets and the Colts positions. And you're right, the Jets could move out. They don't own a second round pick, so there is that possibility that they would want to move down. I think the only reason they would move down and off Bowers is if they don't mind kind of what tackle they get, but they wouldn't want to move down too far. So could that mean that maybe they do move, the Jets move down, but they only want to move down to say 15, 16 sort of area? Because really, that's the tackle run is going to go quick and it's going to go hard within that team section. So they don't want to move down too far if they do want to position themselves with a tackle. But that could be a scenario where I'd only think that they'd want to move off of 10 if they don't like Brock Bowers.
Yeah, and I mean, tackles. We saw a tweet from Daniel Jeremiah earlier saying that, you know, he just got, what was it, 5 calls or something, and pretty much all of them are people calling up and moving up for tackles. So tackle could be an interesting spot to look at in this draft.
100%.
So yeah, teams are probably going to be moving up for him, and I think I don't know how many we've ended up with in our mock draft, but there's a lot of tackles going and
Rightfully,
offensive
yeah.
line, isn't there?
I think the line's now moved in Vegas. I think the line for offensive linemen is now 10 and a half instead of
Yeah, I
nine
think it
and a
was
half.
8.5 the other night, wasn't it?
Yeah, so it's crazy. So I think it's gone up maybe 2 spots within the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So it has gone a bit crazy. So, but now, yeah, the line's 10 and a half. So take of that what you will. I mean, if we have a scenario where a third of the draft is offensive linemen, I mean, that would be utter craziness.
Yeah. I mean, it would make some sense, I think, for the Jets to do something. Like on the offensive line, you've got Aaron Rodgers coming off, obviously, that horrific injury, but you know, he's rubbed some dirt in it and eating some mushrooms or something, and now it's all fine. So, you know, but yeah, you know, they're going to want to keep him upright, aren't they? So, but I mean, Bowers does help with that as well, doesn't he? He helps on both sides of the game. It's not
I
like
mean,
Bowers is like your new tight end. Bowers can block. Bowers is a proper tight end, isn't he?
and also he's the one that you can get it out quick to. Aaron Rodgers always liked to get the ball out quick. And that's the sort of guy that would just absolutely excel in that sort of scenario. So Mike Williams is more of your deep ball threat, so you've got your red zone option, obviously Garrett Williams. But if you had a double team on him, then you've got to wait for Mike Williams to get open, which is not going to be a scenario that's going to happen. So this gives Aaron Rodgers, you're quick and easy. I know they've got Bryce Hall there, but he gives you these quick yards after catch completions, and I think Bowers, that's where he excels.
Yeah, him, Wilson, and Hall would be a pretty dynamic trio, wouldn't it, for Rodgers there?
100%, yeah.
Yeah. Right, on to number 11. I mean, it's the Vikings. In our scenario, they haven't moved. They've stuck at 11. All the quarterbacks sort of, they didn't really have much of a chance in our scenario to get the quarterback. I don't think, the Chargers at 5 were going to move down all the way to 11 unless it was some crazy haul. Maybe they're going to have to do something crazy if they want to do it. Who knows? Maybe Justin Jefferson isn't on this team come Friday morning. But I mean, it seems unlikely, doesn't it? But
Yeah.
at pick 11, we've got Byron Murphy. I mean, do you think if they stick here and the quarterbacks do go, maybe they look to trade back, or do you think this is just where they pick because they've have obviously got another first rounder coming up? So do they just take the player that they like
Yeah.
and need and just they don't necessarily need to accumulate picks at some of these other teams, do they?
Yeah, I think that if they don't, how I would see it is if they don't trade, I don't know if they're going to have enough ammo to trade up for Drake May, because I think he's going to be top four selection. If JJ slides, that's when they could maybe trade
Yeah.
up to 5, 6, 7. But then you obviously depending on if the Giants don't take him. So that's the only scenario where I think that they're going to come away with a quarterback they're going to love. So then all of a sudden, if you say that's not what they're going to do, is well, what are they going to do at 11? Which for me, the only real clear scenario is they look defensive line with so many
Yeah.
issues that they've got on that defensive line. So I mean, you're starting Jerry Tillery at defensive tackle. So I'll put on my mock that you're in all sorts of trouble if you've got Jerry Tillery starting for you, because he is terrible. So yeah, I mean, I think that we went for Brian Murphy here. So I think it makes a ton of sense. He's getting a lot of buzz as a top 10 selection. So top 15, I think you kind of sunk in there. I think that's gonna kind of be his range between, say, pick 8 and pick. I don't think he gets past Seattle at 16, personally. So that's kind of his range. So, but Minnesota needs, so they could go edge. That could be another option, Liatu. But Byron Murphy's just such a good player. I think that would be
Yeah.
such a great fit in Minnesota.
Yeah. And if they don't get a quarterback, it's not a bad sort of second prize, is it really? And as I say, definitely too rich for these other quarterbacks there, isn't it? At 11, especially when they've got that pick 23. They didn't have that pick 23, then maybe they just have to go quarterback just out of pure need. But I don't think they need to, do they here? Right, on to pick number 12. We have another trade. Denver moves down. Jacksonville comes up from pick 17 and take cornerback Quinyon Mitchell. I mean, what do you think the Jags are giving up for this sort of move? It's probably not that expensive, is it, at this stage of the draft? It's, I mean,
No.
not cheap, but it's not sort of crazy if you really do like a player
Yeah.
like Mitchell.
I think that you're going to have, I think that if someone wants to take the first corner, I think they might have to jump for the Raiders. I think that's where maybe most people have eyed that position to happen. So I think that, like I said, I think the Colts could do it. I think the Jags could do it. I think there's the, I mean, there's talk the Eagles want a corner. Like, so I think that's where you're going to have to get to get the first corner off the board, which is obviously what we've got in this scenario here. So the Jags really do need defensive back help. I mean, they're in dire need for it. But that, I think there is a fair few teams that would want to do that in that scenario. And I personally think Denver are going to be desperate to trade out in regards to being aggressive in regards to maybe what they want to do with the second tier of quarterbacks. So I think they want to accumulate picks or trade down to be able to get more value and more depth on this whole roster, because it really does need an overhaul and it needs Sean Payton's stamp on it. At the moment, I just don't feel you have that with that organization.
Well, and as we mentioned in one of the podcasts this week, can't remember which one it was, but we've definitely mentioned it. But the amount of cap, sort of dead cap they've got after that Wilson deal,
Yeah.
like I said with the Chargers, trading down, accumulating some rookies, that's a quick way of sort of fixing some of that financial
100%.
sort of pressure, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, pick number 13. We're at the Raiders. You mentioned they could go corner, but we have them taking a name that I will never get. No, how to pronounce, I don't think. Talis Fuaga. I think that's not
Waga, yeah.
too bad. I don't think I've done too bad there.
Pretty good, pretty good.
Tackle for the Raiders.
Yeah.
It feels like a good pick here, doesn't it? It feels like the sort of place they would go. They need some help there.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's, I think really you can either flip it on one side or the other. I think it's going to be cornerback if it's the first one off the board. If Quinion Mitchell's there, I think they take corner. Maybe Arnold's a possibility. But Telesco, I can see Telesco falling in love with one of these right tackles, which will be Fuaga or JC Latham. I think that they'll be the two that he would love. He would cover that Raiders organization. They feel like they would be a very good Raiders as such. So I think that's the sort of player that he would go for. Obviously, in this scenario, we've got Fuaga. I think you've just got more consistency in both sides of the ball in regards to pass blocking and run blocking. And also, I think you can slide him into guard if you want to. I think he's going to be an absolute stonewall piece on the right-hand side of any offensive line.
Yeah. Again, I think they're another team, a bit like the Vikings, who, if someone makes a big move, it could be them, especially if Daniels is in play, a little bit later for some reason he drops and,
Yeah.
the Washington don't pick him and the Patriots don't like him and maybe he drops down. They are a team that could definitely be in play to move up because I'm sure they're in love with O'Connell, are they? But in this scenario, I think tackle makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Onto the Saints and, I mean, it's that tackle run, offensive line again. We gone for Fashanu at 14. I'm not going to go for the first name this time. This is where we need Ross on because he's so confident in just going for these names, isn't he? When we do this,
Yeah. We'll just
me, I
call
just
him
don't.
Olu
Yeah,
Fashion.
works for me. Pick
Yeah.
number 14, Fashanu to the Saints again. Just a bit of a, it feels like just not no brainer, but it feels like a good
Yeah.
pick for them, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Ramczyk health. Penning has been very poor left tackle. So Fashanu is, you can, he slots straight in at left tackle. You can move Penning onto the right if Ramczyk can't go. James Hurst has just announced that he's retiring, another offensive tackle for the Saints. So they are in all sorts of trouble, and they will 100% not be, they will not be moving out of that pick, and they will be taking a tackle for sure. I can pretty much guarantee that.
Yeah, it definitely feels that way, doesn't it? Pick number 15. The Colts are still there, and we have maybe a shock pick. I don't know. I don't think it is that much of a shock after the combine, is it? We've said how much teams love speed, and them combine stats are going to get some notice. And at pick number 15, Xavier Worthy is the fourth wide receiver off the board.
Yeah.
I think we have different opinions on him. I'm not so sold on him, but I think you like him a lot, don't you?
I think that people think he's just speed, which is where I
Yeah.
kind of look at it, where, I mean, I said, I mean, he put up 900 yards, 12 touchdowns as a freshman in the SEC. So, I mean, you don't do that if you're not half decent at route running. I know speed, he has speed to die for in regards to obviously the combine that he put up, and if you watch it on tape, he is so explosive, it's outrageous. But I just think that that's the Colts, there's been a lot of talk with the Colts that they are interested in Malik Nabers. If they're interested in Malik Nabers, how much is it going to cost to go up and get Malik Nabers? If they can't get Malik Nabers, plan B of that scenario would be, if you're going trying to move up for an explosive wide receiver, who's the next best player we can get 15 without moving away, which Worthy's just does seem to be like that would be maybe a case of scenario if they are looking at wide receiver. I mean, obviously there's talk at corner as well, but in this case scenario, I mean, he's got a little bit of T.Y. Hilton about him as well. So that sort of
Yeah.
so I think it just makes a ton of sense that if the rumors are true and that the Colts are or want to be aggressive and they want to go up and get another weapon for for Richardson, it wouldn't shock me if they can't get Neighbors, they stick at 15 and they take Neighbors, take Worthy.
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense. And I mean, I don't know the last time we saw a player run that sort of speed at the combine and not end up going pretty high, and or obviously not that sort of speed because nobody has, but these fast guys, they're just automatically getting bumped right up, aren't they? And being the fourth receiver off the board, he was already pretty highly rated anyway. And then with that sort of thing, it's just it feels like this sort of thing in play. I mean, while we're on it, Brian Thomas was someone that sort of looked like he could be the wide receiver four, but I mean, the last well, even a few hours, isn't it? It's sort of come out that teams have got some medical concerns about him, and he could be dropping. Like, spoiler, he is going to drop a little bit in our draft. But I mean, he's looked at the wide receiver four for a while, hasn't he, Thomas? But it does feel like, Worthy could well be the next of those picks, and just because that pure speed. But yeah, I mean, Thomas looks a good player, but yeah, Worthy just a game changer if he does work out. So I'll always have them concerns about that nobody basically of his size and build has ever done it, has ever worked out really, have they? Until you
100%.
see it, it's hard to ever sort of back it. And
Yeah.
it like he's the same sort of weight as Tank Dell, but about 6 inches taller, isn't he? I think so. They're not really comparable as players, I don't think. It's they're very different sort of players, even though they're the same weight. It's about where the similarities end. But yeah, it'd be interesting how that turns out. And the Colts isn't a bad place for him to be.
Sure.
Right, on to number 16. Another trade up. I think this is the most a team moves up in our draft, from memory. We got the Chargers moving up from pick 27, Seattle moving all the way back. I mean, start off, what do you think it's going to take to make that sort of move? What sort of trade are we looking at there?
I think where we had Arizona moving up from 27, it was what pick? Because they've got some high picks in round two, so I think it was to pair one of them round two picks up for sure for with 27 to move back up to 16. I think we had their first second round pick, which is relatively early. I think it's like off the top of my head, I can't quite remember. I think it's
It'll be
like
like 36 or
36.
seven, wouldn't it, that sort of
36, I
range.
think it is. Yeah, I think 36 is right. So I think that they pair them two together maybe, and then move up for in this case an edge, which I mean, if you look at their roster, they desperately need one. So
And we got Latu as a pick here, but there is other ways to go. But I mean, to me he feels like the best of the rest of these edge rushers, doesn't he?
yeah, I mean, if the betting market again, it's saying if they're contemplating that the betting market is closing between Dallas Turner and Liatu at eight, then in theory you would think Liatu would be the next edge off the board if it is Dallas Turner. So Liatu makes a ton of sense here for a team, and Monty Osfor is he isn't afraid really to move around and get his guys. And I mean, if they could come away with arguably, in most people's eyes, the best wide receiver, and arguably most people's eyes, the most polished edge rusher in this draft, I mean, you'd be absolutely rubbing your hands as an Arizona Cardinal fan. So I can really see them. They've got 11 picks, got the most out of anybody in the whole draft. So I can see them really maybe packaging a couple of these picks to move up and get the guys they want. And it wouldn't shock me if you see it's more likely they move up from 27 than down from four.
I mean, them teams who have the most picks are always ones that are prone to move up, because there's only so many players you could fit on your roster, isn't there? So there's no point having that many picks and not just trying to sort of package them up, especially as there's so many teams, I think, up ahead of them that would be looking to move back and accumulate some picks as well, isn't there?
Yeah, 100%.
Right. The Broncos, they moved down from 12, got jumped for probably the edge rusher they would have taken if the Cardinals hadn't taken him, but we've got him taking Jared Verse at 17. Feels like decent value there, or
I think
I mean,
so. I
especially
think
after the first two have gone, isn't it?
yeah,
That's the thing.
100%. I think there's a top three. There's a clear top three rushes in most people's eyes. So I think that people want to position themselves around where they can jump up, especially if the team's right at the end, towards the end of the draft. If they're really after an edge, they're going to want to position themselves kind of in that sort of just before, I would say, the Rams at 19 is probably where you might see people want to jump up to get that other edge. Obviously, we've got in this case that these two teams are both taking, obviously, the Zona have moved up and Broncos have moved down for one, but I think they're going to go in the sort of the late teens, I think, at the latest.
Yeah, that's about right. Right, on to the Bengals. I mean, if T. Higgins moves, then maybe they're a team in play for a wide receiver. I mean, they could be anyway. With sort of Higgins, doesn't look like he's there for the long haul and all that. But it doesn't feel like they need. They've got Ja'Marr Chase. They don't need to spend this sort of capital on a wide receiver two or three, do they really? Instead, we've got them going another tackle off the board. We've got J.C. Latham coming off here. I mean, you've got to just help Burrow, haven't you, really? Since he's been
Yeah, I
there,
mean,
just always looking for more help. And yeah, this would be some big
100%.
help.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, if they don't go wide receiver, which obviously is a possibility, then yeah, I think it's between there. I don't think they'll go defensive line. I just don't think, unless it's Brian Murphy, then maybe. But I
Yeah.
just think that it's tackle or it's wide receiver. And I think, like you said, Trent Brown, I think he's on that 1 year deal to be the right tackle. I mean, it makes too much sense really to be able to slot someone like JC Latham there that at the moment is getting buzzed to be a top 10 pick again. So I thought beginning of the week it was going to be more so that you add Ault and then Fashanu and then you add Fuaga Fatano as the next two and then Latham was the fifth. But it looks like it could even be that Latham is the second tackle taken off the board. So there's a lot of coaches that are driving the JC Latham bandwagon at the moment. So it could be that he goes higher than this in the actual draft.
I mean, what's hard with this is so much buzz about some of these players, potentially being top 10 picks. I mean, there's only 10 picks to go around. Someone's going to fall.
Someone's gonna fall, yeah, for sure.
I get off track a little bit. Out of the players that we've drafted so far, who do you think, is there anyone that stands out as somebody you could see fall in on draft night?
Out of the ones that we've taken so far,
Yeah. To me, it feels like Bowers is someone. I don't know why. I just feel like, tight end the last few years has not necessarily been. I can't think who tweeted out the stats of sort of hit rate and tight end is just dreadful in the first, and I think that could scare teams. He just feels too good of a prospect not to go. But with all these tackles going and all these quarterbacks, if they all go in that spot, then someone like him could definitely fall to me. Maybe one of these wide receivers. I don't really see one of the top three receivers getting out of that top 10, but.
No.
Maybe if all these tackles go, someone's got to drop, haven't they?
I think that for me, the only one that I could see maybe that everyone's had as a top 10, not lock, but a top 10 selection for a long time that could is Dallas Turner. The only reason I say that is because if the Falcons pass on him, I don't see the Jets interested. And then I personally think that Liatu or Byron Murphy would be more of the Vikings sort of pick. And maybe if Vikings have
Yeah.
already traded up for JJ McCarthy, say, and then they're not even there anyway. I'm
Yeah.
not sure if the Raiders would take him. I'm not really sure if the next couple of teams could take him. So then all of a sudden, could he drop to sort of the 16 range, which maybe most people haven't seen him fall that far so far. So that's the only other player I would say that, I mean, I just really can't see the wide receivers dropping. I can't see the big three quarterbacks or four quarterbacks dropping outside the top 10. I can't see Ault dropping out. So it's a case of like,
Well,
is
that's
it
eight
Quinion?
there, isn't it? With the re
Yeah, so
receivers,
all of a sudden, like,
Ault and
it's hard to like,
quarterbacks.
that's the only thing is where, say, one person is specifically edge at the moment. If someone specifically who has been targeting an edge doesn't take an edge, then where does the next guy fall when it
Yeah.
just cascades? And I think that's the same with the cornerbacks. I think that if one of the top teams at the very top of the, say, 11, 12, or 13 don't take a corner, then I think you're looking at the first corner to be taken at 15 by the Colts. And if the Colts have already moved up, say, for a wide receiver, you're looking at maybe pick 17 at the Jags. Do you know what I
Yeah.
mean? As the first corner taken. So it could be one of those two positions that one of the guys that we've pegged as a top 10 or 12 pick drops to sort of the 17, 18, 19 range.
I mean, is there any scenario where McCarthy drops a bit? We've seen it in the last couple of years. We've had Will Levis, we had Mac Jones, all sort of picked, talked about that potentially. I think Levis, at one stage, they talked like he could be the number one pick, didn't they, or something silly last year. It
There's
was all
something.
like, at least it was definitely as high as like three or four.
Yeah,
Is
something
McCarthy one of
crazy.
them guys that if a couple of teams just aren't that keen on him, it's all a bit smoke and mirrors. All of a sudden he's down to pick like 13 with the Raiders, and maybe he just goes there or something. Is there any scenario that where that plays out, do you think?
I don't think so. I think that if they stick and pick, I don't think the Vikings would pass on at 11. So that's the latest he falls. But I still think that if he gets anywhere close to range for the Vikings, I think they move up.
Yeah.
I think they move up to say 7 or 8, like to even squash the, like I can understand them maybe not moving up to 4 and 5. But I can't see a scenario where they don't trade with the Titans who want to tackle in a deep tackle class or the Falcons in a class where they're the first ones to really be taking an edge at 8. So why would they not just move back and still take one at 11? So that's where I see the scenario where JJ can't really fall.
Yeah, fair play. Right, get back on track. Right, pick 19 for the Rams. Another team that feel like they could go a few different routes. I mean, there has been some talk of them being in play for a quarterback, but I don't really see it with Stafford still very much. I know he's had sort of some injury issues, hasn't he? But, you know, he's still, I can't see him moving on from him, can you?
No, not really.
No. We've got
No.
to take and tackle, you know, give him some help rather than you know, moving on from him at all. We got Fatanu going at 19 to the Rams. Yet another tackle off the board in the top 20.
Yeah.
How do you feel about this pick here?
I think it's going to be it'll be a rock solid. I mean, Peter Schrager said that he's pretty much guaranteeing that the first round pick of the McVay era. I mean, that sounds strange to say that.
Yeah, it's bizarre, isn't
Yeah, goes on offense. So he is convinced it's going on offense. So for me, that with the class, how deep it is, that really just pictures itself to a tackle.
Yeah. I mean, they're probably not
Possibly.
taking receiver, are they? They're not taking running back. You know, it doesn't really leave a lot of other options, does it?
Yeah, I mean, they could take a wide receiver. I mean, I think that if they were gonna do it, Worthy or Thomas could be in play, but the strength of this tackle class is so good that, and it also, if you don't take one while this run's happening, I don't
Yeah.
think you're gonna be able to take one in the second round. So the caliber of these tackles are gonna be long gone. So that's my main concern with any team that are looking at this kind of scenario, tackle wide receiver, you're always gonna take tackle.
Yeah, I agree with you. Right, on to Steelers at pick 20. Another offensive lineman. Got Graham Barton going there.
Yeah.
Just yeah, feels like a strong choice, doesn't it, for them again? Especially
Absolutely.
with the way it's played out, you know, they need
Yeah.
some help there. I mean, he's the first sort of interior guy, really, isn't he? I know some of these players could potentially play there, but here he's the first proper one. Good
Absolutely
pick for
love
the Steelers
Barton.
here.
Absolutely love Barton. Yeah, I think that would be a proper Steelers pick. That would be. So yeah, absolutely. There's talk that they somewhat there's a few teams out there that view him as a center. I think he's like a more of an all pro guard, more like Zach Martin. But yeah, 100%, he's one of my favorite players in the draft, actually.
Yeah, he just feels like a good solid player, doesn't he? And I mean, I said about the Titans, the hit rate on them being awful. I mean, the hit rate on interior offensive line guys is like so high, it's crazy.
Through the roof, yeah.
I mean, they just don't really miss. I think it's like 86.6% hit rate or something like that, which is you know, insane in the draft where so many players miss. Right on to pick 21. We have another trade up. It's the Buccaneers coming up from 26. The Dolphins were at 21. The Buccaneers come up from 26 to 21 and take Terry Arnold from Alabama, cornerback. I mean, what are your thoughts on this trade here?
Yeah, I mean, there's two teams that are positioned 24 and 25, which are the Green Bay Packers and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And both of these teams sit on multiple day two picks. So these are the two teams that I would say are in the realm of, if they really like one of these tackles, they're going to get involved in the mix because they've got the capital to do it. And also they're in range that if they like any of these defensive backs, particularly some of the top end guys, that if they fall, they're in the mix to jump up as well. And I think that Tampa are in that range. So for me, Terry on Arnold, I mean, they dealt Colton Davis to the Lions. So they have this hole at corner. And Arnold is a perfect sort of player for them, I think. So yeah, I think that would be a very, very good move from Tampa Bay for sure.
Right, Eagles at 22. I mean, we get back to the tackles, because why not? Amarius Mims from Georgia, again, just another just good solid player for a team that you know they're they're always going to take just the best player, I think, on the whole, aren't they? The Eagles, they're not they're that sort of team, and you know, he's just a great pick here, isn't he?
I think that it would be either tackle or corner, and I think Mims going back to Georgia. I think it's, if I'm honest, I think it's going to be between Arnold and Mims. Something like that would be their choice of scenario at 22.
Pick 23, the Vikings are stuck here. They didn't get their quarterback first time round, but I mean, we have them at pick 23, taking Bo Nix. I mean, they don't have a second rounder. They're currently. I keep forgetting. Is it Sam Darnold? Here's Sam Darnold at
Yeah, Sam
the back,
Darnold,
isn't it?
yeah.
Yeah, Sam Darnold. They've got to do something at quarterback, haven't they? They can't go into next season with Sam Darnold throwing the ball to, their incredible couple of receivers they've got there.
Yeah,
I mean.
I think Daniel Jeremiah pointed it out. I think that the Vikings, they will not want to leave this draft without another quarterback, whether that be if they're going to try, if they can get in range of JJ McCarthy or Drake May, that might be a solution. But if not, I think they stick and pick the best player available at 11. And I think they use one of these picks either to move down to the very top of, but if you're still after a quarterback, just don't be too cute and think you can move down and still get value for the guy. So that would be a name I'd keep an eye on, Bo Nix, to them. And obviously, in this scenario, we've said that they're not going to be too cute and they stick and pick and take him at 23.
Yeah, it just, I mean, especially with Justin Jefferson not seemingly too happy at the moment. Yeah, it doesn't seem to be, got contract disputes and stuff like that there, haven't they? So,
Yeah.
you can't, I just don't think you can go into next season with Sam Darnold and try and keep him happy as well. So,
Yeah.
yeah, pick 23, Bo Nix to the Vikings. Pick 24, we end, I guess, the slide for Brian Thomas, who goes to the Cowboys.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really hard to Brian Thomas stuff after the news we've heard, today that, teams are sort of a bit out on him and lots of teams not too keen. But he has looked like the wide receiver four for a long time. But I mean, the fifth wide receiver for the board, the last one we have going in this first round. And I mean, five wide receivers, whether it's Thomas or not, feels about right, doesn't it to me?
Yeah, I
To
think
you?
so. I think that's about right. I think there's so much depth, and then it's kind of pick your poison in regards to what kind of players. And it's not like there's just one tall X or one slot or one speed. So there's multiple of these players throughout the whole of the draft. So I think that we might not get as many wide receivers go as many as we hoped, maybe fantasy wise in round one, but round two will be littered with these guys, absolutely littered. But yeah, I think the Cowboys make a ton of sense for wide receiver, and Jerry Jones said he's all in, and there's nothing to show for that so far.
It's not done a lot so far. So, go and get a receiver and see how they go. 25, we've got the Packers. I mean, another cornerback off the board. What's this? This is the third corner or fourth? Third, isn't it?
Third corner, yeah.
Third corner. Cooper DeJean.
Cooper
Again, another.
DeChene, yeah, going back to wire work, get their guy. I think he's that sort of hybrid, and they don't take anybody under 190 pounds. So Wiggins would definitely not be one of their cup of tea. So I think that Cooper DeChene. I mean, there's talk he's going to go higher, but that's a nice pick, I think there.
Yeah, for sure. Dolphins, they've traded down. Definitely need some help on the offensive line, and they take Jackson Powers Johnson. Again, just feels like a nice O pick, especially after trading down and add another
Yeah.
pick. This feels nice here, doesn't it? 26.
Yeah, 100%. They could play him as that Robert Hunt guard, move him into center, which they do need. They have got a hole there. There's talk they really like Graham Barton. So if he's there, I don't think Graham Barton gets past the Dolphins. But plan B in this scenario, because obviously Barton went to the Steelers, Jackson Powers Johnson would be a great fit for the Dolphins for sure.
Right. Seattle, they've traded down as well. Again, a player that I don't know, potentially could go where they trade down from, but they pick Newton out of Illinois. I mean, again, just there's so many good players in this draft, isn't there? This
So many
section here
good.
of the players have got coming up, there are some
Yeah.
incredible players still available and
Yeah.
players that aren't even going to get drafted in the first round on Thursday night. So, I mean, he
Yeah.
feels like another one that could, in another year, go a bit higher than this, doesn't he?
100%. Like, he's one of my favorite players in the whole draft. I love him. So I think that they're the inside pressure now, they're getting paid so much money that these guys can come off the board maybe a lot earlier than you think. There's quite a few day two defensive linemen, internal pass rushers that are on that sort of projection as well, like your Fisk and your Dorlis and Darius Robinson, etc. So watch the names of these guys, because they'll be going early, so earlier than people think. But yeah, I think what we had there, Seattle moved down from 16 to just place themselves in front of Buffalo, because there is an Johnny Newton has picked up a lot of steam with Buffalo the last few days. So if Seattle still want him, I think they're going to need to stay ahead of the Buffalo Bills to be able to take him.
Well, the Bills don't get their man, and is it a little bit clickbaity? Possibly, but we do have a sixth quarterback coming off the board in round one. the Raiders make a big move up, trade with the Bills, take Michael Penix Jr. And he does feel like a player who's had some buzz as a first rounder, doesn't he? Whether that happens or not, I don't know. But once Bo Nix goes, then Penix is
Yeah.
definitely in play, isn't he?
I think personally, I think that if a fifth quarterback goes on the night, it will be Penix. I think it'll be
Yeah.
more so Penix than Bo Nix. Just with the teams that we think are going to position themselves in a range where if the Giants do pass and go neighbors and the Raiders do pass, then the teams most likely to jump back into round one in theory within that scenario. I don't see, obviously, the Vikings haven't got a pick. I don't think they're interested in Penix, and the same with the Broncos. So you're looking at teams with round two picks that would jump back in. It would be the Giants, it would be the Raiders, and Penix makes a ton of sense for both those teams. So keep an eye on the Raiders, and Daniel Jeremiah's talked this up. Dan Brugler's talked this up. So it's a strong possibility that if the Raiders do want to move up, Penix is the kind of guy that they would target.
Pick 29, the Lions. I mean, don't have tons and tons of holes anymore, do they? So wide receiver is definitely in play for them, I think. You know, when you look past St. Brown, doesn't you know, leaves a little to be desired,
Yeah.
to be desired. But we got them taking Nate Wiggins, pick 29. Just again, good value. It just feels like all these players here just feel like good value, don't they?
Yeah, best player available for sure. And they go for these explosive, freakish athletes like Chop Robinson would be in play as well here for me. So they're two names to keep an eye on because they love these explosive athletes like they took with Jack Campbell and with Gibbs last year. So yeah, keep an eye on those guys.
Yeah, and then final three picks of the round, more and more linemen. I'll do all three together. The Ravens have got Jordan Morgan, the Niners we've got Zach Frazier, and then 32 we've got Tyler Guyton. I mean, just three solid picks there, but they feel like three spots that could easily be teams move in and out and up and down, don't they? At this in this draft.
Yeah, I think all three teams, although we have said that like these three teams are like three of the best teams in the league, they all could do with help on the offensive line. I think this is where the tier starts dropping off. So
Yeah.
the 49ers really could do with a plug and play guy straight off the bat. No project, no sort of projects. I don't think they really should have that sort of guy. But I think the Ravens and the Chiefs of Ravens go with Morgan. He could slide into guard quite easily, left guard. I think he's probably more projected as a guard, I would say, just with the arm length, but athleticism would be superb for that sort of pick. And then the Chiefs, I've been told to literally pencil it in, bookmark it. The Chiefs will be going tackle at pick 32. So that best player on the board for sure would be Guyton. And he's more maybe their cup of tea in regards to the size and profile that they would be looking for sure. But yeah. Patrick Paul's is another one that's been getting a lot of buzz now to jump into round one. Them tackles are going to be going. They're going to be going. There's going to be a lot in the first round.
Yeah, and well, that rounds up our round one final mock draft. Lots of action there. Lots of, I mean, it just shows how many good players we're going through there, doesn't it? It feels like there's so many good players available this year.
Yeah.
Where can we mark find more from you, Ash?
I'm on Twitter and X, and I'm at Tilza999s. Got the mock draft article out as well. If people want to scan over that, just done a few bits and pieces. But yeah, I'll be tweeting across the next 3 days with the draft.
Nice. And you can find us at first and 10 underscore. We're going to do loads of draft stuff. We're going to do some mock drafts. So get involved in those. Fantasy stuff. Lots of other stuff. But yeah, make sure you go and check out some of our other coverage. But well, until after the draft, we will see you next time.